It is courtroom drama at its finest. Perhaps you remember the film A Few Good Men. And in the climactic scene of that court-martial, defense attorney Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, portrayed by Tom Cruise, is goading the witness, Colonel Nathan Jessup, portrayed by Jack Nicholson, into incriminating himself.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Now, 2,000 years ago, in another judicial setting, the presiding judge, a guy named Pontius Pilate, asked the question, what is truth? Now, the Bible doesn't record an answer to that question. In fact, some have wondered if Pilate turned away before Jesus had a chance to respond. But this evening, I'd like to take up that question. What is truth? What does the Word of God say about truth, and why this is such a vital question, really for Christians of any age, but particularly for Christians of our age in our society? I want to begin with the core substance of truth. The word truth can actually be used in one of two ways. It can be a quality of speech, truth as opposed to falsehood, or a quality of being, truth as opposed to mere appearance. Either way, truth has to do with objective reality. That which corresponds to reality and reveals it. The dictionary defines truth as that which conforms to reality or fact, that which is in accordance with what is, what has been, or what must be. Ultimate truth, then, is an objective reality. That means that it exists outside of us and it remains constant regardless of how we may perceive it. Truth, by definition, is fixed. It is constant. It is not our own personal or arbitrary interpretation of reality. As such, truth does not yield to majority rule. It does not depend on the size or the shape or the strength of the latest lobby group. Truth is not a matter of opinion or preference. Truth is true even if everybody denies it. And a lie is a lie even if everybody affirms it. We can easily confuse what we wish to be true with what is true. But what do you call somebody who confuses what they want to be true with what's true? We say they've lost touch with what? Reality. Exactly. Truth and reality are very much connected. C.S. Lewis wrote in his classic book, Mere Christianity, "Truth is which is what it is, and what it was long before I was born, and whether I like it or not." And that's the truth. It is what it is, whether we like it or not. And it was what it was even before we were around. Now, because it is an objective reality, truth becomes the measurement of what is true. I use this illustration a lot. If you buy a box of tile, and on the box it says it is 12 inches by 12 inches, and you want to know if that tile is true, what do? You get a measurement. It might be a ruler, it might be a yardstick, it could be a tape measure, whatever. And you measure the width, you measure the height, and if it measures 12 by 12, then that tile is true. If it measures 12 by 11 and a half, that's not true. And you take it back and say, I want one that's really 12 by 12. Now, if you were to do that and the person at the store says, Well, that's 12 inches to me. That's not going to cut it, is it? Maybe you've seen those commercials where someone tries to sell half an umbrella. It's not going to work. And it's not up to our interpretation. Something is true if it conforms to the truth. Now, this concept is not popular in our day. And I'd like to take a few minutes to look at the current struggle about truth. That film that I referenced earlier, A Few Good Men, I can't believe when I looked it up, that film was released 25 years ago. Can you believe that? You know, nowadays, no screenwriter or director would include such an exchange because people don't believe in truth anymore. Pilate asked, what is truth? Our present culture asks, is there truth? And for most of them, the answer is no. According to the Barna Research Group, statistics on the question of absolute truth are alarming, even shocking. From a random poll of 1,000 people in the United States, only 34% believe that moral truth is absolute and unaffected by circumstances. When it comes to right and wrong, 1/3 of our population believe that that is a fixed reality. Only 46% of people who claim to be born-again Christians believe in a changeless standard of truth. More recently, 74% of what is called the millennial generation. These are people born between 1982 and 2002. Sometimes they're called Generation Y. 74% surveyed agreed with the statement, whatever is right for your life and works best for you is the only truth you can know. And this has become the mantra of the postmodern era. Maybe you've heard that phrase, postmodernism, or the postmodern era. Maybe, like me, you really don't know what that means. John MacArthur, in his book, The Truth War, points first to modernism. This is the belief that truth exists and that the scientific method is the only reliable way to determine the truth. This actually dates back a few hundred years, what's called the modern era or modernism. In this idea, most academic disciplines such as philosophy, science, literature, and education were driven primarily by rationalistic presuppositions. So in other words, modern thought treated human reason as the final arbiter of what is true. The modern mind discounted the idea of the supernatural. They looked for scientific and rational explanations for everything. But they still retained a belief that knowledge of the truth was possible. We just needed science to get to it. They were seeking universal and absolute truths that applied to everyone. And scientific methodologies became the chief means by which people sought for truth. These presuppositions gave birth to Darwinism, which in turn spawned a string of humanistic ideas and worldviews. Most prominent among them were several atheistic, rationalistic, utopian philosophies, such as Marxism, fascism, socialism, communism, even theological liberalism, all came out of this modernistic thought. Various struggles between these ideologies and others like them dominated the 20th century. And what you saw was that all of them failed at one point or another. Most, if not all, of the major dogmas and worldviews from this modernistic era are now deemed completely outmoded They have been totally discredited by virtually every corner of the intellectual and academic world today. Modernism has been rejected. The overconfident rationalism, the human conceit that characterized the modern era has finally had most of the winds taken out of their sails. So the new way of thinking that has emerged has been called postmodernism. And it is marked by a tendency to dismiss the possibility of any sure and settled knowledge of the truth. We might call this agnosticism. Some people confuse the word agnostic and atheist. An atheist believes there is no God. An agnostic says we can't know if there's a God. Well, postmodernism says we can't know anything. There is nothing that is absolutely true, except their point that nothing is absolutely true. It suggests that if objective truth exists, we cannot know it with any degree of certainty. And so the subjectivity of the human mind makes any absolutes impossible. They say it's useless to think in terms of objective truth. Objectivity, they say, is an illusion. Nothing is certain. And the thoughtful person will never speak with too much conviction about anything because it's all changing. It's all up for grabs. Strong convictions about any point of truth are judged as supremely arrogant and hopelessly naive. Everyone is entitled not only to his own opinion, but to his own truth. That's the world in which we live. And postmodernism's singular goal is the systematic deconstruction of any truth claim. Anything that stands as truth, postmodernism attacks it and tries to destroy it. The chief tools used to do this are relativism, everything's relative, subjectivism, everybody has their own opinion, the denial of every dogma, the dissection of any clear definition, the undoing of really everything we have come to know, the exaggeration of any ambiguity, and the cultivation of uncertainty about absolutely anything. Postmodernism says we cannot know the truth about anything. And I personally, and this is my own commentary here, I personally believe this is why so many people that are caught up in the postmodern thought find their lives empty, meaningless, and I believe it is a contributing factor to so much substance abuse and so much suicide that we see today. It was interesting, this last week, there was a well-known singer who had kind of made his mark probably 20 years ago, but was coming back, was seeing new success, and after a sold-out concert, they found him hanging in his hotel room. He had taken his own life. And they said that he had suffered from depression. Somebody writing about his suicide commented on how we're seeing this more and more and more, especially in the entertainment world. And they wondered if there isn't some vague sense of hopelessness that is contributing to this rise. I say yes, and I say much of it has to do with this idea that nothing is true anymore. See, if nothing is true, and you can't be certain about anything, that leads to insecurity. You don't feel comfortable knowing anything if nothing is true. I think if you were to challenge me to boil down postmodern thought into its pure essence and to identify the gist of it in one single simple characteristic, it'd be this. It is the rejection of every expression of certainty. That's what our society is pushing today. And if you don't believe it, look at this whole area of gender identity. Right? If there is no such thing as truth, it does not matter what gender you were born. You can determine what gender you are yourself and make that your reality. Now, it used to be that if a person wanted to change his or her gender, they would have to go through a medical operation and where things were changed biologically to make them the other gender. Now you just say, oh, I'm going to be a girl today. I'm going to be a boy today. And the proponents of this are suggesting that you can change that several times in a day if you want to, because that's your reality. It comes right out of this postmodern thinking, that there is nothing true, there isn't anything certain or absolute or changeless, therefore it's all up for grabs. And whatever you want to believe at the moment is acceptable. And for somebody to stand up and say, no, you're a male or you're a female because you were born that way and that's your biological makeup, oh, they're intolerant. That's just wrong according to our world. Do you see where this kind of thinking is going? I really believe we are living in the days of Judges 21:25. If you look at that verse, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let me paraphrase that just a bit. In those days there was no truth, so everybody did what was right in his own eyes. See, if there's no truth, there is no morality. There is no right and wrong. Because how can you base any statement on right and wrong if there is no truth? You can say, well, that's true for you. And everything becomes subjective and relative. Randy Alcorn points to whom he calls the most influential theologian in America, Oprah Winfrey, as being partly responsible for this viewpoint. He writes, her spirituality is a hodgepodge of psychology, recovery, and out-of-context scripture. The Oprah way is church-free, build-it-yourself spirituality. All roads lead to heaven. Karma? Sure. Fate? Why not? Reincarnation? Could be. And while you're at it, throw in a little Buddhism, Hinduism, and New Age, angel-guided living. Oprah's faith is shape-shifting to the contours of individual preference. It's a have-it-your-way designer religion made to order for the post-Christian culture. Oprah doesn't talk about biblical inspiration, human sinfulness, Christ's deity, substitutionary atonement, final judgment, resurrection, or hell. Why? Because these specifically define spirituality. They are truths that refute false belief systems, including the ones championed by her own program. Oprah says, and I quote, "One of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe that there's only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God." That is what's being accepted today. That's what's being propagated today in your schools, in your television and movie and music and entertainment, and especially in higher education. That is what we are being fed as a culture. And quite honestly, most of us are gobbling it up. But you know, Jesus didn't say, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. No, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is why Christianity today is often ridiculed, mocked, discredited. In fact, it's the only religion that is acceptable to disparage publicly. somebody disparages Islam, you may get your head cut off. If you try to speak out against Hinduism or Buddhism or any other religion, well, you're just an intolerant jerk. But if you want to make fun of Christianity, fair game. Why is that? Because we stand for the truth, and that's what this postmodern culture does not want to hear. They don't want to hear anything about truth because they don't believe that it exists. Dogmatic convictions are, to say the least, unpopular. Truth is relative. Nothing is absolute. And to stand against this line of thinking is unacceptable. Chuck Colson writes, "The most scandalous thing one can do today is to make a truth claim. To say something is the truth. It's the most scandalous thing you can do." I mean, who wants to be considered so narrow and bigoted as to say that his view of the truth is the only way? In fact, in some circles, if you affirm the truth of Christianity, you are labeled a religious terrorist. You are an extremist. You are a radical. You're no different than the radical Islamists that are blowing people up or crucifying people because they don't agree with their religion. That's how they view us when we stand for the truth. You know, the most disconcerting aspect of this attitude toward truth is anybody that holds to the possibility of truth is categorized as someone who just believes in it. They dismiss it as, well, that's your opinion. Again, they take the whole idea of objective reality out of the question. So you cannot base what you're saying on anything. You can't base it on logic. You cannot base it on fact or history. Have you noticed lately in our country how we're trying to destroy our history? I have a good friend that's a Lutheran minister down in New Orleans. And the city of New Orleans, led by their mayor, is on a campaign to destroy all of the historical monuments in that city. And they have taken down a number of statues and monuments and memorials that have been there for decades. Because, well, we don't like what that person stood for. They're trying to erase history as though it didn't exist. And then they can pretend that it never happened. That's this idea of rejecting truth and reality. Unfortunately, postmodernism has crept into some corners of the church. I mentioned earlier, over half of the people who claim to be Christians reject the notion of objective truth. Many evangelicals will say there's no such thing as truth. Well, what's the Bible then, if it is not the truth? There are those, particularly among the emerging church movement, or sometimes it's called the emergent movement, suppose that if truth does exist, we can't be sure what it is, so it doesn't really matter much. They won't stand on anything because they've decided that even Scripture isn't clear enough to stand on. They approach God's Word by asking, what does this mean to me? Instead of asking, what did it mean when it was written? Or what did it mean when God said it? They make everything personal and they make everything relative. Everything is subjective. But if we hold that the Word of God is the truth, then we go back and we say, okay, Lord, what do you mean by this? What was the original intent of the author? Then we can apply it to ourselves. But when we begin with, what does it mean to me? We've missed the boat. Ravi Zacharias laments, this surrender of truth is the hallmark of our culture's greatest crisis and makes the culture war so deadly, restricting meaningful dialogue on questions of the soul. When you take truth out of the equation, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to witness to somebody else about your faith. And this leads to the crucial significance of truth. Nothing is more valuable. Nothing is more important than the truth. For the Christian, this is where our battle must be fought. For no worldview suffers more from a loss of objective truth than Christianity. And this is more than theory or speculation. The truth is not just something to be believed, it's something to be lived out. Truth isn't just mere facts, it's something we act upon. In fact, it acts upon us. We cannot change the truth, but the truth can change us, and it must change us. The difference between saying there's no such thing as truth and living as if the truth doesn't matter is a small one, but the consequences are catastrophic. There are many in the church today who are practical atheists. Oh, they say they believe in God, but when you watch their lives, there's no evidence of it whatsoever. They might as well be atheists because that's how they live. So what do we do about this? Well, I think that every Christian should know and love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says that one of the key characteristics of those who perish, these are those who will be ultimately condemned to hell, is that they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. They reject the truth, and when you reject the truth, you seal your fate. And beyond knowing and loving the truth, we need to live the truth. Jesus told his disciples in John 13:17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." That song that we sang earlier tonight, "Trust and Obey." You can't separate those two for the Christian. If we truly trust God's word is truth, we will obey it. If we do not, we are denying what we say we believe. And then finally, our challenge, our job as Christians is to defend the truth. See, if we don't take truth seriously, we're not going to take God seriously. And the crisis that we face in this country, unless we find a way to engage our postmodern culture, is that people aren't going to take God seriously. And we're already seeing that. Truth is essential to a realistic worldview. When truth is rejected, our view of reality is seriously skewed. Hank Hanegraaff concludes, "The death of truth spells the death of civilization." And we are seeing that unfold before our very eyes. Clearly, the existence of absolute truth is the most essential tenet to biblical Christianity. Speaking plainly, if you're one of those who questions whether truth is really important or whether we can know the truth, don't call what you believe Christianity, because it ain't. If there is no truth, there is no Christianity, period. It is based on God's word and God's word alone, on the facts of history down through the years of what God has done. And if we reject that, we have nothing left but a bunch of warm, fuzzy feelings that will save no one. I want to conclude tonight with the changeless source of truth. What is the measure we can use to determine if something is true? And the Bible is very clear on this. Psalm 31:5 speaks of the God of truth. Truth is one of his attributes, one of his characteristics. In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind." He cannot lie because he is the truth. And he does not change his mind because he does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that God is the source of all reality, therefore, he is the source of all truth. He alone determines what is true. He is the revealer of all truth. Our God is the standard and the source of all truth. Truth is based on our relationship with Him. If we want to know the truth, we must know God. And the fundamental nature, not only of God, but of the truth, is that it does not change. 2 + 2 = 4 thousands of years ago. It does today, and it will thousands of years from now, because it is the truth. It is reality. You take two items and add two more items, and you will have four items. You can't change that. You can't argue around it. You can't somehow make it five because there's only four things there. You're dealing with reality. And so even as the Lord does not change, so truth does not change. All truth has a center of gravity, you might say. Jesus Christ, who said, as I quoted earlier, I am the truth. I am the way and the life. He didn't say He would show the truth. He didn't say He would teach the truth. He didn't say He would model the truth. He said, I am the truth. He is truth personified. He is the reference point to evaluate anything that claims to be true. Does it measure up to Jesus? Sometimes I'll be asked, you know, have you heard of such and such a church or such and such a group? Are they a cult? And my answer is very simple. What do they say about Jesus? If they believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who came and lived on this earth and died for our sins and rose again, I don't care what else they believe, they're true. If they waffle on any of those things, if they do not believe that Jesus is eternal God, if they say that He was created and He existed beforehand as some kind of an angel and then He came to earth, they are not true. If they say that Jesus was a good man and He suffered a martyr's death, but they don't follow that up with the resurrection, they don't see His death as shedding the blood for our sins, they are not true. I don't care what else they say. The truth is determined on what they believe about Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. And that's what it all boils down to. Christianity is not true because it works. That's pragmatism. Christianity is not true because it feels right. That's subjectivism. Christianity is not true because it's my truth. That's relativism. Christianity is true because it is anchored in the person of Christ. And it is fixed on the reality of God and what He has done. Not just what we think or feel. Jesus also spoke of the Spirit of truth. Here's the third person in the Godhead. You have the God of truth, Jesus the Son, saying, I am the truth, and now you have the Spirit of truth. And one of His functions is to lead the followers of Jesus into all truth. And then finally, Jesus says regarding the Word of God, your Word is truth. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God is truth. Truth. It is the standard by which anything can be measured to see if it is true. So returning to that original question posed by Pontius Pilate, what is truth? Truth is an objective reality that reflects what is, not what we want something to be. Truth is the standard by which we can measure anything to see if it is true. It is unchanging because reality does not change. Therefore, it is reliable. And truth finds its ultimate existence and expression in Almighty God, who is the truth, who is the creator of all things that are real. He is the truth. His written word is His expression of truth. We can determine if something is true by comparing it to His word. Without truth, nothing can be trusted. Without truth, nothing can be determined to be real. Without truth, there is no hope. Without truth, we are utterly lost. Now, our world is convinced that there is no such thing as truth. Thank God they are wrong. There is truth. There is a God. He does exist. And he has acted in history, and he has revealed himself in his word. And it's up to us to show the world the way, the truth, and the life that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, in this world that is constantly shifting, this world that has nothing to stand on, nothing to base anything on, I am thankful that we have the truth in knowing you. You are the truth. And your word is truth. Something that was true before we were born, something that will be true long after we die. Because you are God. You do not change. Your reality does not change. The truth does not change. I pray that we as Christians will be champions of truth, that we will not be sucked in to this cultural wave of relativism, of postmodern thought that rejects any form of truth. May we stand up for you, who is the truth. May we stand for your word, which is the truth. Let everybody else be a liar. You are true. And we take our stand with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.